Hello, hello, hello. How are we doing? How's your week going? All good? It has been a cracking one for me so far. Lots going on, and very, very exciting. It's pretty cool actually today as well. An advert that I was involved in with Adidas has just come out as well, and it's always good to see the work that you've done, and especially when you make the final cut as well. So I've had some lovely messages of people. Thank you for them. And yeah, I'm super, super excited for this episode. It's fantastic. I'm not going to talk too much. I'm just going to let you enjoy it. So here's me and Luke sitting down and having a good old-fashioned chinwag. Enjoy. Hello, hello. Testing, testing.
Hello. 1 2 1 2 1 2.
Right, we're on, mate. Cool. So, just want to say a massive shout out to everyone who's listening to the podcast. Today I've got a very, very exciting guest. It is a good friend of mine called Luke. How you doing, brother?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mate, absolute pleasure to have you on. So, it's pretty funny because I actually used to teach Luke back in the day before I started doing all this. And yeah, he's just one of those students who was just absolutely sound, really, really clever, really bright, but was very, very good at sport and very, very good at music. And
thank you.
That is what you're doing now, innit? So tell me what you've been up to since I last seen you, mate, basically.
Well, past summer 2019, I had the under 20 Euros with Ireland lacrosse, and then after that, got like a last minute call up for the men's team to do the box lacrosse world games in Vancouver. That was like, I had a bit of a year off uni.
Yeah.
Now I'm back. Been doing loads of music stuff in like four different bands.
Yeah, man.
Manalishi, Slovaks, Madison, and the Elvis band someplace outside of Memphis.
Yeah.
Function gate's pretty fun. So yeah, I've just been staying busy with like different gigs, writing loads of music, recording. Yeah, it's busy.
It's funny actually because we're in Chorlton, and just want to say, what's this place called? Beartown, is it, or something like that?
It is. I'm not sure.
We need to give them a shout out because, to be fair to them, they've been absolutely lovely.
Benito Lounge, I think.
That's it. Big shout out to Benito Lounge.
Benito Lounge.
Big shout out to Benito Lounge for letting us record here. Just got some coffees, a little bit of tapas. I've just come from Champs Camp, my first session back, so I'm absolutely shattered. But yeah, it's funny because we actually not seen you from school for obviously years,
yeah.
And then I seen you in Chorlton, didn't I? With Madison.
Jam night.
And
Wally Cheeks, yeah.
Absolutely, a couple of years ago now, and it was funny, I was on a Christmas do, and it's funny because I don't really get to go on Christmas do's anymore because obviously I'm freelance, but there's a big shout out to Video Inc, obviously we talk about a lot on this podcast, and they invited me to their Christmas do, so we'd had a couple of drinks, we'd been for a pizza, and we ended up going into Morley Cheeks, and this band were playing, and I was like, these are decent, these absolutely class, and it's always good to hear live music. And then specifically I was like, God, this drummer's good, and then lo and behold, it was you on it on the spins.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's mad, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
then we had a good catch up, kept in touch, and then yeah, we've obviously kept in touch since and followed your progression obviously with the lacrosse and stuff,
yeah,
but especially with the music as well, man.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Like so good to see you kind of keep that up, because
cheers.
I remember, you know, back in school when, you know, when you were drumming and stuff, and I got Ben Peacock,
yeah, sure,
my mate,
yeah,
to come in, and I remember him saying, he was like, mate, this kid is class, like,
yeah.
And he was just...
I've progressed, I'd say, a lot since then.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed lessons with Ben, because I guess he was closer to my age than a few of my other teachers would have been, or
yeah,
whatever, so it was good in that respect.
Mm.
But yeah, no, I've come on, I personally think in leaps and bounds, because I'm not afraid to say it, like when you work hard at something, you put the work in and you recognise your own progression, or you set yourself goals, you start hitting your goals, like,
yeah, man.
You can say that you're good at something or whatever, and I think, yeah, like I've made a lot of progression for sure.
I think that's it, mate, and I think at the end of the day, like, you're 20, aren't you? But you've, like I say, you've come on loads because you're putting in the graph, like you say, you've already said you've
that's
done
it, yeah.
You're working with four different bands,
you know what I mean? And or artists, like you say, you've gone on to study that anyway, so you've always kept at it. What got you into drumming? What was the first kind of, was it band artist or particular drummer or?
I originally wanted to play the guitar, but then I kind of figured from a young age, like there was so many guitarists, many, and then I kind of just had like a natural sort of ear for the drums in a way, like a natural ear for rhythm. Mm. And it actually started with like Argos catalogues and plates and like going to Buffet City as a kid and taking home chopsticks and using them as drumsticks, man, just like finding a way. And like fortunately my mum and my dad have always supported kind of whatever I've wanted to do creatively.
Yeah, man. It's important, that, isn't it?
For sure, because there's certain, obviously, opportunities they might not have had where they just thought, like, whatever he wants to do as an athlete or creatively, artistically, they've always found a way to give me that opportunity. So, obviously, I'm really thankful for that. And, yeah, I ended up getting my first drum kit when I was 6. Like, a little first act discovery, like, kids kit.
Yeah.
I couldn't play it for a few years because where we were living was kind of small and built up, so I wouldn't have got away with banging on a drum kit, so I had to wait for a while. And then it wasn't until I got to secondary school and I started taking lessons where I really, it kind of opened me up to it, to like try and take it a bit more seriously. And I kind of felt like, despite the lessons I was having at school, I still felt kind of like self-taught.
Yeah.
And in a way, I still am, because I've had some great tutors, but what the best thing they all taught me is like how to just like, they've given me tools that I can go away and carry on that individual path and keep teaching myself things, or just really knowing how to find out what it is I want to know.
Yeah.
So I obviously have learned a lot off these people, but I think carrying on with it.
I think that's the most important thing. Like you say, you can be taught, you can learn, and you can watch, and you can, but at the end of the day, practicing and getting yourself out there, performing live, you know, those are the biggest lessons, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely playing live is a big one, and I love playing live, and there's a big thing about like performance anxiety, which is like a big subject for a lot of people, and I've always felt like, I look at the way I play on stage is the same way I approach playing lacrosse. Like,
they're
both creative outlets in a different way. And it's something that I look forward to going on stage, or I look forward to going and playing a game, because I feel like it's all in the preparation of, if you've practiced enough and you train enough, that's where your confidence, that's where my confidence comes from, is knowing like I've prepared enough. So I always know if there's any doubt when I'm doing something, or there's a bit of nerves or whatever, it's because maybe I've not warmed up enough, or I haven't quite rehearsed the songs as well as I should have, or as much as I should have. And for me, that's how I combat that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like going back to getting into music, loads of people hate on you too, but they were like Larry Mullen Jr. specifically was like my first kind of like idol as a drummer in a way, because my dad just got me into U2 from a young age. It was, I guess, my dad's got a great like record, CD, music collection, and he was always instilled in me like, just be well-rounded, be open to everything. And I suppose at the time, like, he must have thought U2 were like a good balance of like pop, rock and all the rest of it, and just something good that I could listen to at a young age.
100%. I think, do you know, it's funny that, because my dad, I remember, he always goes on about U2 because he saw U2 before they were U2, and it was like in Manchester. It was in like Birmingham. Yeah, it was in like Manchester, and there was like 20 people in the crowd. He said he'd never forget, because they were tight, and he'd not seen a band like that before. Yeah, and fair play to like Bono and stuff. He said he was out there, but he was that thing where, I think it's that, you know, working class. Like my dad's from, he's from a mining town in Wales, but that was his outlet, music, and it's the same with him. He had a record collection. That's why my record collection, why I like all different types of music. It's so important to be eclectic and listen to different types of music. Yeah. But no, I think you bang on there, mate, and I can totally see why I like you too, because they've gone on from success to success. And it's that thing, isn't it, where you, like you say, and they're Irish as well, isn't it? So we've got that bit of Irish in us where it's like, you know, go on the boys.
It was always one of those things as well, like since that, I remember I'll say one of the first CDs I ever got, because the first CD I ever got, my uncle actually gave to me, it was a Fall Out Boy single. He's like, since you're getting into music, you can have this.
So hey,
like,
Fall Out Boy, like these, mate.
Sugar Were Going Down, man, what a tune.
What a tune.
But, so I love that CD. I don't know what happened to it. I think my sister must have got hold of it. But one of the first like CDs I ever got with like a bit of pocket money, I saw like a U2 like singles compilation, and I just listened to it and properly drilling the songs in my head. And like the first song I ever taught myself was Bloody Sunday.
Big track, man. Big track.
For me, been a big like part of me starting that musical journey and how I listen to music and then how I play music, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's fun, man.
It's funny, just go back to the point you made, because I use this analogy a lot where I especially when I got into the industry, it was that thing of, because I've luckily, unfortunately, I was good at sport and I got to playing for big teams and different sports and playing big finals and stuff like that. I took that discipline and that mindset, and I took that into my acting and modelling and my creative side. And even with this, that attitude, and let's say something that's obviously instilled in you as well, it's that almost being in the arena and performing, and you rise to the occasion. And obviously it's a big thing, because again, you know, we all have our, you know, dips in it with anxiety, or you know, bits where we're a bit nervous, I think it's important using those butterflies. And again, it's almost like you want those butterflies, because it makes you feel like, right, I'm ready to perform.
I always like to feel like I'm on an edge in a way.
Yeah.
With music and performing as a drummer, like I feel like I always just I get excited to do it in a way.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I've done some pretty decent gigs, like big gigs and stuff, and like for me, it's the bigger the gig, the more excited and the less nerves in a way.
Yeah,
it sounds really weird, but like...
No, I get it, mate. I totally get it.
It's one of those things where like, this is what I've always wanted to do, so when I'm in that moment,
of course, man.
Why would I shy away from it?
Exactly, man. And rise to the occasion,
and
isn't
that's it. I think it does take a bit of experience to get to that point, and a lot of practice, and a lot of like making mistakes and whatever. Obviously it's the same thing what everyone will tell you, do you know what I mean. And the same with the sport stuff, like that I could mention, that World Games I played, that was my first outing for the men's team.
Well, that was mad, because I remember we were chatting and you were just like, yeah, I've just got on the men's team, and I was like, you just got on the under 20s, mate. It was a shock. It was that
from,
thing
like,
where it was
the age
like
group to the men's team was a jump, but even more of a jump was that the style of lacrosse I was playing at the World Games, I'd never played before.
Yeah, that elite level.
I come from like a field lacrosse background, which is, it's full contact, but it's restricted in certain ways. And then box lacrosse is in an ice hockey rink covered up.
Yeah.
And the rules of contact, I'd say there's less rules in terms of the rules of contact with you could get away with more things. It's way more physical.
But like you say, you're playing against men. It's quicker, but they know the tricks of the trade, don't they?
The crazy thing for me was that, and it's like I'd never done it before, and then next minute it's Coach Clancy. I got a message off him asking me, "Do you want to play for the men's team in BC?" This was like a month after I'd come back from Prague for the U20s, and. Yeah. It was one of those things, obviously I'm not going to say no. It was like, say yes and then I'll figure out how I'm going to get there later. But then thinking about it, I was like, I've never done this. I don't even have the proper protective equipment for it. Like, what am I going to do? I was definitely finding my feet along the way. Fortunately, the team, like, crazy characters, but just the nicest bunch of guys that definitely had my back. I look forward to hopefully playing alongside them again. But yeah, it was just weird going there, and really it was like learning on the job. But thinking about it then, it's like learning on the job at the World Games. It's like,
yeah, it's like the pinnacle.
And for me, I'm as much as I'm learning on the job, I'm actually figuring out as I'm going along how I'm dealing with it in my head. It was dead cool, but for me it was just enjoying it, like not expecting too much of myself. I'm just doing like Mikey Shea, actually one of the guys on the team, caught me in one of the training sessions, pulled me to the side after, like, he must have seen I was a bit flustered or whatever, I was just a bit out of place, and he's like, listen, just do what you can do, do that well, don't worry about doing everyone
stick
else's
to your
job,
strengths,
stick to your strengths, even if that's one thing. And after that I started like I got one goal in the tournament.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on Insta. I was like,
go on, bro. Yeah, and I think, again, it's like, just a lot of the about that type of lacrosse that I didn't know, and I was learning game by game, obviously, feeling a lot more comfortable game by game, and I found my strength was like assisting guys or whatever, or getting that hockey assist, getting the assist to the assist, that kind of thing. Or I was really figuring out the movements and the mechanics of the game, which it's totally different. It's almost a different sport.
Of course,
it's mad. The coaches were brilliant, man. So really learning a lot all the time. Was a highlight for me.
Mate, it sounds absolutely mega. And like I say, I was so proud of you, mate, because it was just that thing of like,
yeah.
And I, like I say, when you go from junior level to senior sports, it is such a shock. But you're doing it, at an elite level, at the highest kind of pinnacle of the where you can get to, and able to, one, to be picked. Like, you should have confidence in yourself, and obviously they had confidence. But it's great that, like you say, you had good people around you who pulled you to the side, because that's so important. And I think it's the same with anything that you do in life, but luckily what we do in you, the creative side, that's another thing where it's like,
for sure,
it's, you need those people ahead of you to get, like I've had amazing advice, what I mean, and you try and pass it down, because it is, you've been in that scenario. Now you know next time you go, even though you're still going to be very young,
that's it,
there'll be a young kid coming through, and you can pass it on.
Sponge when I was there, just whatever anyone had to tell me, I was just all ears all the time.
Yeah.
Really, like, watching. So I'm quite a visual learner. Like,
yeah.
And in a way where, like, I'll just watch something, and that's how I want to learn it. Like, even with, like, certain plays, it has to be like a walkthrough or something. Like, I remember in Prague for the under-20 stuff, I trialled for the team as an attack man, got on as an attack player. But I would have been, I'd say, second string attack. I ended up playing attacking midfield, which I've not really done before. But that's where I figured I'd get more game time. But I was struggling retaining information, like, with plays. It was like, here's this play, next play, next play. You get a sheet, and it's like, this is not how I'm not used to this. Yeah. I was well just out of my depth in the sense of, like, the coaching style was different. All the players around me, it was more like an American style of play, like the American high school style of play, which was great. And it was just, for me, I've got to get used to that. Yeah. And I'm such a visual learner. It's like, then them implementing, watching film and looking at the game, it's like, all right, now I get it. Now I understand these movements. Because just being told something, it's like,
see, that's the thing.
Does nothing for you.
Exactly. Like, do you know what, mate? I'm the exact same. Yeah. And it's that thing of, it's understanding and identifying that and being able to adapt. And that's what's so important. Yeah. That's so important, because
what works,
and I think that's what's important in anything that you do. Like, it's, you know, if you don't know how to do something, figure out what you're good at and what works for you, and then implement that.
Or figure out what it is you don't know, and then find the best way to learn it.
Yeah, like, exactly. And whether it's looking at a video, whether it's chatting to someone.
For sure.
And again, you must have grown so much off the back of that.
Oh, mate, it's unreal. Learned. But the frustrating thing that I kind of joke about with some of my friends is, like, you know that when you go to these things, you come back and you won't even notice how much better you've got. You're not going to be a better player until you come back, and that's like, why can't I get better before I go? But it's that learning process, and then you come back, and it's like you say, it's about, like, carrying that and passing it on and helping people out and stuff. And it's cool, man, like being able to, like, represent my club, like Manchester Waconians, at that level. Because it's interesting, two of the guys that I play alongside were actually playing for the England team at the Box Across World Games.
Did you play against each other?
We were in a different group. The groups were kind of weird. They were in the top group, and we were in just, like, normal pool play at this point. So we didn't get to play against them. But it was a cool thought, just being involved in the same thing. Because one of the guys was one of the first coaches I ever had. And I'm off to Poland this summer, coming for the men's Euros with the lacrosse, like, the field team, and the island team. And it's the same thing, like, another one of our guys plays for the Wales team.
Yeah, man.
And it's just going to be cool knowing that, like, when I first joined that club and started, he was my coach, and now I'm going to be at his level, almost, like, playing at the same time.
Well, it is. That's exactly what it is. It must be a really proud thing for the club, but also the coaching. And ultimately, it's testament to them.
To them, yeah.
As coaches and as, but also yourself, mate. Do you know what I mean? You're the one doing it, yeah. But it must be, like I say, I'm proud of you. Do you know what I mean? And cheers, I, you know, because it's that thing where you know. It's funny. I went popped back into Barlow the other day to just see Mr. Greenlees and Mr. Roberts.
I need to actually. Yes.
And we'll come back in because I'm gonna go in the next couple of weeks and help with the media side of the sport. Yeah. But it was like asking about obviously Brendan, who we were talking about before, obviously the MMA fight, and they've been keeping an eye on him. But then it was that thing I mentioned you, and they were like, "Oh no way!" And it was just that thing of just. I know they've said it to me, like, we're really proud of you, what you're doing, and you do. It's just that thing of like. Say it's at the end of the day we're a community and it's so important to encourage each other and pass on things and also show the next generation that, it's like this is the standard if you work hard and keep your head down you can get to these places.
I've achieved like a few things where I think like I know people that you think there's way more people you can think of that are more deserving of certain things or that'll do you're getting to do certain things you think well this person's just as good or just as eligible, this, that and the other. And it's one of them where you've always got to like stay grounded, but you've also got to think like, if you get the opportunity, you kind of don't have time to, you might feel bad for certain people that don't get the opportunity or whatever, but at the same time, you've got that opportunity, so it's what you do with it. It's giving that person that wanted to be there the sense of ownership and thinking that their friend's doing it and then, it's for the right reasons or whatever, and you're off, you're having fun, you're doing your thing, and it's cool, man. It's the same thing with music, like when being at a music uni, seeing some of my friends playing like the arena or like massive gigs, and you think, man, like I'm so happy for him, like it's the best thing ever, because that's what you're striving to do.
100%, and I think that's like you say, it's the best outlook to have. It's to look at it in a positive way. I think a lot of people see things now on Instagram and people are like, I'm living my best life and all this stuff, and you know where it's like, well, that's all well and good, but it's for me it's the journey, you remembering the times where it was like, oh, you know, like for me it's like you say, when you I think back to when you're in, whether it was in school, but if it was a PE lesson or something where it was like you're in the, you know, the music room and like now you're on stage playing, now you're playing at, you know, the World Cup. It's like, it's those things where you have seen the journey and it's so important, because, and again, it's having that ability to reflect on it and to be proud of yourself, because again, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to, you know, we're all individuals at the end of the day, and it's difficult because everyone's got their own battles and their own journeys and stuff. But I think if you're a positive person and want the best for other people, I truly believe good things will come to you. And I know my success has happened because I've been brought up well. Yeah. You know what I mean, by my parents, and been taught how to, you know.
You gotta be personable, haven't
you? Yeah, man, and just be open and honest, and just be.
And
you know,
can actually, obviously, it can be hard to. It's easy sitting here when you work your way up to a certain point and. That journey is not always a positive journey.
No, man.
Want to carry on with it, mate. Do you know what I mean? And
how many times have, like, say, you know, you've picked up an injury or, you know, where you've not played a great gig? Like, that's something I've done where it's like, I've done a shoot or I've done something and I beat myself up about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you feel like you've blown an opportunity.
Yeah,
whatever,
and you're just they're the best lessons, because you think, well, next time I'll be prepared. Yeah. And it, again, going back to preparing and that's planning and doing all that stuff, it's so important because... The more you're prepared and the more that you do, when you get that opportunity, you're ready and raring to go, aren't you?
And it's good, obviously, in music, in sport, in what you do, like with your acting and modelling and stuff. It's also quite reliant on your network as well.
Just 100%.
That's the thing, like, and that's the skill. I think staying positive is a skill.
Like, 100%.
Networking is a skill. Like, it's all everything's skill based in the creative industry, I think. And
it's not what you know; it's who you know. I say that to everyone, and if people don't know you, then get to know you. Do you know what I mean?
It's easy, there's no point moaning about it. And the easiest thing is to make excuses for yourself, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm well guilty of it.
But
there's always going to come a point where you think if it's something you want to do, then find a way. Right?
Yeah.
Make a way.
This is the thing.
Kick the doors down.
Exactly, brother. I truly believe that, because it's not like, it's just the same, this is where we're very similar, where it's like, nothing's really been handed to us. It's been like,
we've wanted to do something because we've seen it, and now we live in an age where you can see it. And you think, well, our parents have grafted their asses off for years to allow us this opportunity.
Yeah, man.
And it's not because we've got loads of money, it's far from that. It's more they've worked hard and showed the values of that, and the gratitude that you have that and being grateful for that. But also it gives you that thing of, like, when you have been lazy, like, because I am guilty as that, as most people. But it's why I try and surround myself now with people who are the best or want to be the best in their field.
Yeah,
it's like why I train with Brendan, because I think I'm dead fit and I'm in a good shape,
and then
I train with him
train
and it's like,
that,
wow, I am well off, because he dedicates his life to it. It's a mindset. You've got to dedicate yourself to the craft. I think that's the message.
For sure.
But you only do that by learning as you go, do you know what I mean? Making mistakes, learning things, putting yourself out there, attempting
things.
But that's it, mate. It's that thing where, and again, like, say you're at that point now where you've reached certain goals, but I'm sure you've got...
It never ends.
Nah, man, it never ends.
That's the thing. I'm looking at what I'm doing, thinking, like, all right, I'm 20, and then the way I look at it is I want to do so much, and I'm constantly getting told, oh, you got plenty of time, you're only 20, you got plenty of time, you're only 20, but it's like, all right, on one hand, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, like... Past 20 years has gone really quick.
It goes like that.
21 this year, and I've got a lot of cool stuff coming up, and like stuff that I'm looking forward to doing and trying to get involved with. Yeah. But I don't feel like I've got enough time, because as an athlete, you've only got so long, and I think creatively, you've got a lot longer in music and stuff.
Yeah.
I've got my whole life, but I just want to do as much as I can. As soon as I can, and I hate being told, oh, you got plenty of time. It's like, I know, but there's people my age that are doing all this kind of stuff, and then you get caught in the trap of comparing yourself and all that.
Yeah,
and then
which you can't, which everyone does, but
everyone
you can't
does,
do, mate. Do you know what I mean? Because people must look at you and think, bloody
hell. It's good to, I mean, that'd be nice. It's good to a point where you think, actually, like, keep yourself motivated by thinking, I do want to chase, I want to be like this person, I want to take elements of what they're doing and kind of hurry myself along a bit. But there's a big thing in, like, just trusting the process, like you say. And I've always believed, I think music wise as well, where I'm not, even sport wise, like, I don't like the whole clicky side of things quite often, so I'm happy just doing my own thing at my own pace, and knowing, like you say, staying positive, being nice to people, opportunities will come up.
100%.
I'm happy being patient for that.
Yeah.
I don't want to force something that's not real and is a bit fake, or I'm not quite. I've had to kind of, like, put on a bit of a facade to get to a certain thing. It's like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm happy just being who I am. What you see, that's it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can, like, the whole thing about the Instagram thing, like, you look on my Instagram and that's literally me. Like, just. I post just stuff about me lacrosse when I'm at gigs practicing. That's it. That's all I do.
I'm the exact same, and it's why I do that, and I do and I'm so open and honest with it. Because it's that thing where it's like you see that other side of it, and you just think, well, that's not me, and I don't want to be like that. I'm me. I am who I am.
And again,
I know it's stopped me getting certain jobs. I know it's stopped, you know. But at the end of the day, mate, and I'll tell you now, mate. You're cool as hell, so it's like, just keep doing you, mate, do you know what I mean?
Because you get
it's patience, like you say, you know, if you get it straight away, you don't appreciate it, like, the journey I've on that, starting this is something I wanted to do for years, and it was funny, I did it on my Insta, but I didn't put it out there yet, but I literally lived in a gap in Wally Range, and I was in a bad place, mate, I was in a bad relationship, just broke up out of that, I weren't in a good place, I wasn't acting, I was just in a bad place, mate, and I moved into this absolute shithole it was. And I remember listening to this podcast by Joey Coco Diaz, this great comedian, and he was telling about the time he'd come out of, basically was in prison or got out of prison or whatever. And he was just like, but I knew he had to do comedy, and that was what he had to do.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to that, and it proper gave me hope, and it's mad. I was walking past the gap, and I thought, mate, I'm doing really well now. I'm on the way to record this. And you know, you just think, like, I'm so glad I went through that time,
for sure,
because it's going to make me appreciate what I'm going to get.
That's it.
And I've lived as well. Some people you see and you just think, and that's the problem, like, especially for the younger generation, like, don't compare yourself to other people. Like, we're all on our own path, we're all on our own journey. make mistakes, big believer in that. But try, man.
Definitely.
Just and try.
Yeah, try. And what was I going to say then? Well, I had something to say. Oh, that's it. Like, one of the best bits of advice my dad's ever given me was like, just whatever you're going through, feel the way you feel, in a sense of like, you're meant to feel like that.
Yeah,
you're human. And
immerse yourself in it. Embrace
like,
it, man.
So, like, yeah, another lad from my lacrosse team, JT, told me, I'll get onto it in a minute, but told me, like, just soak it up. Cause
yeah, man.
Soak up, but don't dwell on it.
Yeah,
like,
that's
if you dwell on it and mull over it, then, yeah, you're going to cause yourself a few issues, but soak up how you feel, and then it's like... So for recently, one of the lads from the MMU team is over from America, unfortunately passed away.
I know, I'd seen that, man. I'd send condolences, man. Rest in peace.
Yeah, definitely, man. One of the bits of advice I got was like, soak it up so that, and it is unfortunate, like, next time it happens, people die, innit? Like, next time it happens and there's someone there that's a bit younger that hasn't been through it or hasn't experienced it as much, you can put your arm around them and say, like, well, I've been there before, I know exactly what you're going through, and it's just one of those things, man. Like,
you bang on there, mate, and it's this is one for me. It's I lost one of my mates in school.
It's horrible.
And it was, and I was there when it happened, and it was horrible. But fortunately, or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, and I try and look at it in a positive way, I lost my auntie a couple of years before that, and that was a massive shock, especially at an early age, and it affected our family immensely.
So
but it made me be able to be that shoulder to cry on for everyone else.
For sure,
and
you could put your arm around
moving forward,
yeah,
I've done that with other people, and now, you know, at the end of the day, that's part of life. Death is a part of life, and even now, shocking it is, and sadly, something happened recently with someone very close to home, and it's happened again and again, and it constantly happened, and my outlook now is just, if anything, it just gives me that drive to be like, live your life,
that's
man. Do, you know, take that risk, do it, because life's short, man, it can go like that.
You never know, man.
You never know, man.
So that's why, like, don't do things that you don't like doing.
Yeah.
Like, I took that year off uni, and one of my tutors, Pedro, one of my favourite tutors, man, he said to me before, like, when I was talking to him about potentially taking the year off, he was like, do it, because he said, like, he's not going to be a tutor that tells me not to do it, because if I want to come back and education's for me, then I'll come back. If I don't want to do it, it wasn't for me, and that's okay, because you've always got options. And I think it's easy for people to kind of like do the done thing, or what all the mates are doing, or what all the friendship group are doing, and then they end up at college doing something that they don't know why they've picked it, and then they end up at uni doing something and then they don't know why they've picked it, and then they hate it after the first term of first year, and it's like, just don't do things that you don't want to do.
Well, that's
you've always got a choice.
I think that's it. That's a good. You've got options, and I think because it is very difficult. Because especially where we're from, Manchester, it's a great city. There's lots of stuff going on, but we live in this society where you've got to conform, and you've got to do this by a certain time, and you've got to do this, got to do that. And like I say, I was doing that. I was teaching. But I knew it got to a point with me where it was like, and it was similar when round your last couple of years where I was like, I don't want this to be the rest of my life. And also, I had other teachers like Greenlees, like Mr. John, like Mr. Roberts. It's weird calling them that because I know the real name.
See him in the staff room now.
That's what I mean. It was mad the other day when I went back and they were like, "How you doing? You all right?" And I was just like, "Yeah, man." It's like, and then you know when you walk in and you just think, "I'm so glad I'm not still here." There's certain people, and a massive respect for anyone who's a teacher who does that. But you, because that generation, they didn't have that option, whereas like we have this option. We're almost pioneers, and I encourage people to do it and to be brave and be bold, because what we're trying to do is the 1% of, you know, not many people have the confidence to do it, which it does take a lot of confidence. The other one's the ability to do it, but also it's just having that front of just thinking, what, man, fuck it, I'm going for it, I'm going to act. And if it don't work out, it does work out in the end. If you believe in yourself and you put the hours in, you'll get
there. The thing about things working out is I've always been a massive, like, everything for me is to do with perspective. It's like, having a job washing pots, it's people like, oh, why don't you hate that? And I was, because I've got to do it for free at home. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Man. Because like, I've done it all my life, mate.
I've done it all my life.
And now I'm getting paid to do it.
Yeah. So like, why wouldn't I like being here? Like,
plus,
stuff like that.
It,
like,
it gives you the one. It grounds you. It gives you perspective. Bang on. But also, it's that thing of, I'm not doing this for the rest of my life.
No.
So I'm
going to
grab.
It's a means to an end. Yeah.
Means to an end, mate.
And
bang on.
The whole thing about like things not working out, and it's like, well, it's just having a certain level of relentlessness. Like, even if you don't have the physical energy to do something, just do it. Drag yourself. Like, wherever your mind goes, your body will follow, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
If you keep going to a trial for a team, if you keep, I don't know, like whatever it is, keep writing your music or you keep doing whatever it is, it will something will eventually come from it that is positive, no matter how big or small it is. If you're after whatever it is you want, like, there's obviously, you've got to be realistic, and by realistic I don't mean pessimistic, it's just like knowing what is your next step, not trying to jump to the top somewhere when there's a ladder to climb. And
it's
not
understanding
the same
that
ladder
route
for
as well.
Everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're figuring out like realistically what are your circumstances, what can you do, what can you afford, what is it that, what steps can you take just to move forward? Because it's like, as long as you're moving forward, then it's progress, isn't it? Like,
of course it is, mate. Every day is progress.
And it's learning. There's a lesson in everything. And I don't want to sound too preachy or anything, but it's just stuff like, there's been times where I've just wanted to, like promoters, man, piss me off big time.
Man.
I don't like it. I'm not scared to piss them off either. If you do mind it, I'm not scared to do their editing, like, excuse my language, but like, they really, I really don't like them as a kind of rule. There is some sound ones, don't I? I'm not trying to tire everyone.
No, it's like anyone that's good and bad in all this, but no, but they're people who, they're not the talent.
For my best interest.
It's the same with for minds with agents
or
casting people.
And
when you're like, you've never done a day in your life, so you don't know. But at the same time, you need them, don't you?
Yeah.
But at the same time,
they're
you
a necessary
don't.
Evil in a way, but then it depends on what you're doing. So like I say, like that Elvis band I'm in, most of what we do is DIY, unless we go for an agency. And the agency's good because it's keeping us busy and stuff. It's still we're doing what we're making a bit of money out of it. It's great. Like, it's still fun. We're getting some nice little shows and that. But then the DIY stuff we do, we're making like a good little number for ourselves, and then it's for ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's sticking their hand in and going, oh, here we go. Like, make sure you've sold this many tickets. Mm. Make sure you do this, when they're not actually doing what their job title is. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing, and a lot of the time they're taking credit and money for something that they don't even, like I say. And that's why it's so important. That's what it's bang on, that you're the DIY.
Do everything yourself.
Do it and learn, because that's how you learn about industry. And you have leverage then.
Manage
to then,
yourself.
Yeah.
So then you know, when you get to a level where you've got a manager, whether they're there for your best interest, because you've been at a lower level in their role. You've had to be your own manager. You've had to be your own PR.
Yeah.
You've had to do everything yourself. Like, and it goes like, everyone that's gigging, it's flipped. It's like everyone's like, oh, like, it's just good to have a gig. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's good to say no to some gigs and say, like, actually, I don't want to get trapped in that circuit or whatever. And at that level, you're your own roadie, your own drum tech, you're the musician, you're the creative, you're the song. You're doing everything, and then you're studying, then you're trying to work a job. And it's just one of them things where, like, it is easy to beat yourself up and say, like, oh, I'm not doing as much as I should be, or progressing as much. And I'm a sucker for it, man, of like taking loads on.
Yeah.
But I'm happy when I'm busy. I'm happy having something every day, and I mean, like, two things every day. And I've always been like that. Like, there was a point at school, I think in like year eight, I was doing a sport 7 days a week.
Yeah.
There was something I was doing every day.
Well, every time I always remember you at lunchtime, after school, whether it was triple jump or lacrosse
everything,
or basketball.
Like, and my mum at some point,
rugby,
like, my poor mum, man, she was always like, and it never crosses your mind as a kid, because I guess it's not your responsibility to be aware of certain things at a young age. Like, when you're a kid, you're just meant to be a kid, aren't you? And looking back though, like, how my mum made sure I could do everything, I don't know, because like, lacrosse is an expensive sport,
man.
Like, it's not just that, like, there was track
travel
spikes,
travel, man.
Like, I've got, like, when I was doing the track and field, like, three different pairs of spikes for sprinting, long jump, high jump, triple jump spikes.
Yeah.
There's lacrosse cleats, gloves, elbow pads, helmets, sticks, and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Subs, membership fees, all that. It's like,
just going on tour, you're going on whatever, and you think.
And I know I'm, like, again, I don't come from a privileged background, but I'm privileged in the sense that if there was something I showed an interest in, it was one of those things that my mum, like I've said, would make sure that I'd be able to do it. Do you know what I mean? Man. And then if I could say I've done it, and I hope I can do the same thing in the future if I'm ever fortunate enough to have kids and that. So it's one of them things, man.
No, but I think that's the thing that you
consistency. Be persistent. Be relentless.
Yeah.
And don't, like, I used to get so much stick for doing the music and being in this school band and but for like lacrosse, and I was at one point as a high diver on the Manchester Aquatics team, like so much stuff, man, people would say, and it is true, and it's dead cliche, but the fact that it's cliche means it must have worked for a lot of people.
Exactly.
When a lot of people tell you, don't listen to the people telling you, it's not normal, or you're out of place, or you're a weirdo for doing this, or you're a weirdo for doing that. Like, whatever it is, I find that I've got a passion for, and lacrosse, I'm fortunate, it's a bit of a minority sport, but once you get into lacrosse world, it's a big world, it's hard to really compete with a lot of, like, the top level guys. Man. But for me, it was just always, like, my dad said growing up when he was my age, the Manc attitude was, like, suit the wearer, sod the starer. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but suit the wearer, sod the starer, like...
That's great, I've never heard that, man.
What
that's
Manchester
brilliant.
Did today, London did tomorrow, all that kind of
man.
Stuff.
It's true, man.
And that's, my dad's always drilled that into me of like, just don't listen to him. If you listen to him, you'll get upset. And and it's the same thing, like, a man with that sense of humour or whatever, or how we are around people, when you kind of get to know us, it's like, don't take us seriously or you'll get upset. But don't listen to us. You know what I mean? Don't listen to us, because
that's a very northern thing. Yeah, it's like, that dry sense of humour, it's that thing, isn't it? And again, it's also...
Because you've got to have a tough skin, like, coming from the areas, like you said, away from and that.
And the thing is as well, it's like, if you haven't got a bit about you, you'll get watered over. Do you know what I mean? If you don't stand up for yourself,
and
you learn that
quickly. I was a proper sensitive kid, like, really sensitive, like, I still am, man.
There's nothing wrong with that, though, bro.
No, for sure, but a lot has changed.
It's good, that's it, you like
certain things, you know, like, and at a young age, like, I think I was very... I was sheltered and protected from a lot of things going on around me in the wider community, and like, looking back, I think, bloody hell, man, my mum and dad did a good job.
You did, that's it now, isn't it?
There's certain things that it's always going to be down to you, no matter how good your parents are to you, you've got the choice ultimately. When you get to an age, you've got the choice of what path do you want to go down, and for me, it was like, just stay busy enough and work hard enough that you don't have the time to be doing anything except what you're working on. Like,
100%.
And it's either if I'm not. Like, I re-enrolled at uni yesterday to finish my third year, and now I've got uni and lacrosse and music. It's like, I don't have time to be doing anything I shouldn't be doing. Do you know what I mean? So it's good like that. But going back to my point, like, I've never let anyone tell me, like, I've never been bullied out of things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing, and it's like, people will try and bully you out of doing something different because it makes them feel bad. It's like, because it makes them question, like, shit, why didn't I do that thing that
that's
I wanted to do?
That's what it is, it's their negative portrait, because they haven't got the confidence or the ability, and most of the time it's the ability to do it.
Which
and
is a
jealous.
Shame, and because it is, if they show, for example, if I've had it where, like, I do, I do different things, and people take an interest, like a lad on my road, Aaron, like, he's recently got into lacrosse, and he was always interested in it and loved the look of it, and like, oh, this is cool, but never knew how to get into it.
And now easily, he's got a blueprint for you.
Easily, it could have been like a bit of friendly banter of, oh, what are you doing that for? That's what's that silly, that blah blah blah. But he never did it. And for him, I think it goes for a lot of people. Like, if it's different, ask questions about it, find out, don't be ignorant, like, try it. Like, and especially stuff you're passionate about creatively. And like I say, using sport as a creative outlet, I'll just put it under that umbrella, like, creatively. I've never been told, like, nah, don't do that. Like, I'll listen to advice from people in what I'm doing. Everyone else that isn't doing what I'm doing, like, what they say is irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I'm finding out what I want to do and what works and doesn't work. And then I'm finding out of people with loads of experience, like all their mistakes, I don't need to make if I just listen to what they say. And I just listen to them. Put the blinkers and the blinders on and just go towards your goal, innit? Like, yeah. Don't let people tell me no, innit?
That's it, mate. 100%. It's when people... I love that, and that's what I've fueled. And I've had, like, say...
It is hard to get into that,
It is hard to get in that mindset.
But once you're in that mindset...
Oh, it's unbelievable, mate.
No one can take you out of it.
Well, that's it, mate.
And it feels great.
Once it clicks in your head.
Once it clicks. Once that penny drops and you think, actually, I know in terms of fitness, I'm not as fit as I could be. That ceiling, I'm not at my ceiling. I have been as a young when I was 15, 16, doing track and field and stuff. That was probably the fittest I've ever been. But this is also skill wise, like as good as you are at something, I think the better you get at something, the more you're aware of in what you do. So the more you know, or the more you're aware of that there is to learn or have an understanding of. Music wise, I know what it is I need to work on and learn to be a more well-rounded, more versatile musician. Yeah. As an athlete, like, you never go to the gym for 5 years and it's alright, boom, reach my goal.
Yeah.
Alright, but what are you going to do now? You've got to maintain it. Like, exactly. So you've got to maintain it or get better. You've got to carry on getting better.
You've got to constantly evolve, haven't you?
Constantly evolve.
And constantly want to get better. I think that's
it. Find something that's weak and do that. There's no point just sitting in your comfort zone and saying, oh, I'm good at this, so I'll just do that. So every time I sit behind a drum kit now, I'm trying to do the Latin stuff, like Afro-Cuban or like jazz-based things, because that's not my strong point.
Yeah.
And I'm becoming more comfortable in my own way, put my own little spin and style on it, and I think that's important for me is finding how do I do things? Listen to people, how they you don't want to get a teacher that you think, I really like what he's teaching me, and then just be a clone, because it's no good. You're just going to be another version of them and end up doing what they're doing.
You're not growing, are you?
No,
you're not pushing yourself.
So, yeah.
And you know you have to, because it must have been like, it's going back to the lacrosse, you know, you've reached the 20s and it's like, there you go, but then you've gone to the worlds of the men's and it's like, oh my God, say it's a different world. And instead of going, oh, I'm not good enough, you just think, right, I'm going to be a sponge, I'm going to learn from this.
I could have easily been at the back of the queue in the bench, you take this run. I'm going on the floor, and if I mess it up, I mess it up.
Yeah.
The coach has got my back, the guys have got my back. But the main thing is, it's like, know when you're meant to be, like, know when to expect something of yourself, know when it's okay to just be in an environment and not be the person that's like at the top of at the top of your game. Like, it's okay sometimes to obviously like not be the best at things.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is the best at things. Everyone has things they're good at, and I'm sure that there's like, for example, like the trial for the men's team, I was in the attacking role up against a lot of like D1 NCAA lads, from all the top American colleges and unis and that, and a lot of these guys, I didn't know who they were or that they were at these schools. And
because context, like, it's massive in America, and it's like, it's the next level.
These are like, you're training at a professional level at university. It's just that big, and there's just lads that I didn't know who they were, and I think it's better I didn't, because I was playing comfortably and calmly, and like, if I'd have known who they were, I'd have been like, I'd have been hesitant. And
I think
that's a big thing.
I think that's it's huge. That
do your own thing, your own way.
Focus on yourself and your own performance, and that's anything in life. Because you say, once you start looking at other people and comparing yourself, you're either going to go under and be like, I don't deserve to be here, or you're going to try and imitate them. And at the end of the day, you didn't get there through being them. You got there through being you. Do you know what I mean? And that's, you're on, everyone's on their own path.
Like, if you pretend to be confident, you'll probably end up being confident. Even if you're not confident, just pretend. And people will treat you like...
Own it, man.
People will treat you different, like, you, how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
Even if you're going into, like I say, a trial situation, you're shitting a brick, like... Yeah. Like, I felt like, alright, like, I was physically bigger lads in the under 20s because I was upper age bracket, but then I go to the senior stuff, and like, these guys that were coming over from the States trialing for Ireland, obviously, like, on Irish passports, all citizens and stuff, so it's not just, we're all legally Irish, like,
we're all Irish, mate, you know what I mean?
I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, like, these guys are like 1-2 years older than me, but like, I thought I was like a big enough guy, but these are serious athletes.
Yeah,
and what do I do? And you adapt, you think, all right, it's a game of skill. I can't match them physically at this point until, you know, like, you really get into, this was last year, so, and this time you trying to train, get fit, that kind of thing.
Well, you're growing as well, aren't you?
Yeah,
you
adapt, you know what I mean? So, like, for me, it's like, right, I just get them on skill, sweet. Like, I just need to make sure when I'm here, like, it's in my day, like, got to own it, like, got to be confident, got to shoot well.
Yeah.
Like, shoot well, move well. Like, it's that thing, like, work smarter, not harder, that kind
it's
of thing.
Especially so true, at trials,
like, you've got to know how to read people in your situation. So I think it's just, like, understand the environment you're in and whatever you're doing. Be individually good at it, work on it. But I think that's subjective then, isn't it?
So yeah, of course it is, man.
Even then, like, knowing, like, all right, what does this coach like in a player? Do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
again,
play the game.
Exactly,
and everything,
mate.
Network and everything. Play the game is a big one, like. And then, but
it's understanding
the game,
your environment.
But don't be anything but yourself at the same time.
Exactly.
You don't have to be.
Exactly, mate.
If you don't like it, you don't like it. That's okay. It's okay
it's
for
an
people
opinion
to not like it.
At the end of the day.
Like,
and the sad thing is, a lot of people aren't aware of it.
Everyone's got to like me. It's like, no, they don't.
People aren't going to like you, mate. I know people who don't like me, but couldn't give a fuck. Like, because, again, it's that thing where I've got loads of people who do like me. But again, You're in charge of your own happiness, and if you're not happy with yourself, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
But if you're happy with yourself and who you are, and you know we've all got flaws, we've all got, you know what I mean,
that's
but you're working on something, then you'll be fine.
That's it.
And I truly believe that it's that thing of constantly, it's you versus you, and you've just got to constantly evolve and be better. And have that drive to do that, and that's understanding who you are, your faults, your strengths and weaknesses, but then constantly work on it.
That's it, man.
What a tune this is, I hope you're picking
a good
it up.
Tune, man,
Right, brother, I tell you what, because I don't want you to be late for work, and I think we've absolutely nailed it here, but we'll definitely have to get you on the podcast again.
Mate, for sure.
There's loads of stuff.
I could talk to you all day, man. I'm telling you.
Same, mate. But again, it's
got so much to say.
It's that like-minded thing. And again, I think it's another thing as well where it's hard chatting to some people. And it's whereas with other people, you just click and you flow.
That's
because
it,
we're on the same page, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, it's that thing as well where we want each other to do well. And
that's really
important. And it's that thing where, again, very, very similar. And the thing is with me, it's almost that mentoring thing where I've seen where you've come from, how you've developed.
That's
and
it.
you should be proper proud of yourself. No, you are,
so,
mate, because you're on it, mate. You're on a path that, again, bloody hell, mate, I wish I was like
you.
I do loads, like I said, doing
the music, the sport, and then I'm still chatting to my dad about, my dad was asking, oh, so who are you doing this podcast with? So fella that used to teach me, he's an actor, he's modelling that, and I was saying, like, oh, I wouldn't mind doing a bit more. Like a bit more modelling or doing a bit of acting. I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't have the time. if there was more hours in the day, great. Like,
no,
I'd do it. But
hey, mate, one step at a time. But
it's that thing where you do one thing at a time,
and that's something I'm probably one of my big advice for you, but anyone as well, especially the people who are listening. It's basically my dad said it to me the other day, because again, I want to do everything because I'm just on that vibe, and I want to do as many things as I can.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, walk before you can run.
That's it, man.
And you know, plan it out and be aware,
like,
and just be like, it takes. You know.
I always prefer being thrown in at the deep end, mate.
Yeah, man, that's
sure,
it, mate. Sink or swim,
man. You got no choice. Like, you can't be complacent, and you have to just be good.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you have to at least be good.
But that's where your biggest lessons are, aren't you? Like, you know, when you've got
no choice, like, you can't think, you can't just sit there and be like, oh, actually, like, when you've got the choice to shy away or be in your comfort zone, you're going to do it, because it's human nature, isn't it? But when you're like, oh, actually, like, you've got to do this, like, you've just got to go and do it. And then think about it afterwards, like, trust your muscle memory, trust your practice and all that, and then think about it,
which is
scary, man. It can be super scary, but end of it, man, it's such a rush, innit? And
that's it, mate, and that's what it's about, innit? I implore people, give it a go, man. If you're thinking about it, just don't care what your friends say,
like I said, like, it's something you've got to do,
man.
Do it, man. Like, go down to, like you say, the boxing gym or something, and go pick up a lacrosse stick or whatever it is,
man.
And Yeah, like just start. It. Yeah, just start. Just make a start.
Everyone, whoever it was,
which reminds me, I need to start my essays.
Right, I'll call it then. Yeah. Brother, thank you so much.
No worries,
man. Appreciate it, man. Is that alright, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, that's fun.
Mate, you smashed it.
I'd definitely game for this again, man.